It is easy to throw stones or be a critic from the outside. It is harder to be in their arena and make difficult decisions.
Airstrikes and airlifts continue in Kabul. It's Monday, August 30th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Follow us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Afghan rescue mission, new humanitarian obstacles in Afghanistan. Afghans arrive in the U.S. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The United States conducted an airstrike Sunday against a vehicle that posed a threat to the Kabul airport following U.S. warnings of an imminent attack in the area. CENTCOM spokesperson Captain Bill Urban said U.S. military forces conducted a self-defense unmanned over-the-horizon airstrike on a vehicle in Kabul, eliminating an imminent ISIS-K threat to the Hamid Karzai International Airport. He added, "We are confident we successfully hit the target. Significant secondary explosions from the vehicle indicated the presence of a substantial amount of explosive material." ISIS-K had claimed responsibility for a suicide attack outside the airport that killed at least 170 Afghans and 13 U.S. service members last Thursday. A U.S. airstrike last Friday killed two members of the terror group. The U.S. Embassy in Kabul had urged U.S. citizens to leave the vicinity of the airport, citing a specific and credible threat. U.S. President Joe Biden Saturday said another attack was likely within the next 24 to 36 hours. Warnings of additional attacks come as the U.S. and its allies wind down an evacuation of their citizens and Afghans fleeing the Taliban. The White House says that since August 14th, the U.S. has evacuated or helped to evacuate more than 114,000 people. As evacuations from Afghanistan continue ahead of tomorrow's August 31st departure deadline, the U.S. State Department vows to continue to help Americans who want to leave, even after Tuesday's deadline. VOA's Laurel Bowman has our story.
Planes flew in and out of Afghanistan, evacuating those who wish to leave following the Taliban's takeover earlier this month. On Thursday, a suicide bombing killed more than 100 people, including 13 U.S. service members, an offshoot of the Islamic State extremist group known as ISIS-K, claimed responsibility for the attack. In Washington, the White House is facing fire for what the president's critics are calling a botched exit strategy, with many left behind.
We had a promise that we would get them out. How can they trust America anymore if we violate our trust and our promises?
But the White House is standing firm.
It is easy to throw stones or be a critic from the outside. It is harder to be in their arena and make difficult decisions.
But analysts who've studied the region for years say the events unfolding today have been a long time in the making.
Let's be clear. This is an American-made disaster that crosses four administrations. And it also crosses the multiple branches of government. Implicated in this are failings from the White House, from the Bush administration to Obama to Trump and presently to Biden. There is plenty of blame to go around.
For days, Afghans and others wishing to leave the country have massed at the gates of the Hamid Karzai International Airport and the surrounding area. U.S. officials acknowledged Friday that not everyone who deserves safe passage will get through. The U.S. State Department says its efforts to get people with special status out will continue beyond next Tuesday's deadline.
Our military operation will come to an end by August 31st. What does not have an expiration date is our commitment to any American who, for whatever reason, decides not to take us up on the offer of repatriation now, but who may come to us in days, weeks, months, or years to say, I want help.
The State Department isn't saying whether there will be formal diplomatic relations with the Taliban in the future, and the White House has vowed retaliation for Thursday's attack while urging the public to focus on what's been one of the biggest air evacuations in history, with more than 100,000 people leaving Afghanistan since mid-August. Laurel Bowman, VOA News, Washington.
Follow this rapidly developing story by following us on Twitter at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia and at the VOANews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Taliban close to formation of cabinet, announcement of new government. Afghans see more checkpoints as Taliban widen airport security cordon. Australia approves Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for children over 12. A survey says most Americans support defending Taiwan if China invades. Afghan Paralympians extremely emotional after Tokyo arrival. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more can be found daily at Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and of course our website, that's voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. At kitchen tables around the United States, former military members who served in Afghanistan have been working around the clock to get their Afghan colleagues out of the country. They fear the Taliban will imprison or even kill interpreters and their families who do not make it out by August 31st. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb reports on one family that has upended its life to help.
I take it completely as a military op. It's just like it was in the field. Little sleep, little food, a lot of intelligence, you know, and a lot of waiting.
Night and day, Army veteran Lou Frazier calls in favors with one mission in mind: to get this family of 26, almost all women and children, inside Kabul's International Airport.
I'm trying to rescue a bunch of women and children that are attached to these men that I have a great fondness for that served us so well. You know, my heart breaks.
These men, we'll call them Ali and Muhammad, are former combat interpreters whom Frazier worked with in Afghanistan.
As a father, you know, all I hope to get my family to the United States.
If you all don't help me, who is help me?
Frazier helped Ali and Muhammad arrive in the U.S. in June. They planned to earn enough money for passports to get the rest of their family here. They thought they had time, but then Kabul fell.
It's made the situation extremely difficult because now you have U.S. Marines and Taliban 10 feet away from each other.
The obstacles are overwhelming. Family members call terrified, they say, because the Taliban are knocking on doors looking for those who worked with Americans. And on Thursday, a deadly explosion at an airport gate. Every spare minute, Frazier and his wife update evacuation forms and check with anyone who might be able to help.
I'm just hoping and making, you know, and making sure that the pictures are clear enough, that my, you know, the coordinates are accurate enough, that everything is perfect, because I fear if I don't get this correct, then the mission won't be accomplished.
For now, they wait, hoping someone, anyone, will save them. Carla Babb, VOA News.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, it's getting harder to help those in need. Happening now in Asia, China's top court has ruled it is a violation of labor laws to have a so-called 996 work culture, meaning working 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. The practice of encouraged overtime is common among Chinese tech firms. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice to have you with us today on VOA Asia. The humanitarian situation was already dire in Afghanistan before the Taliban swept into Kabul August 15th. Now it has worsened as aid workers are coping with a new operating environment. VOA UN correspondent Margaret Bashir reports.
Conflict, drought, and COVID-19 have created one of the worst humanitarian crises in the world, leaving more than 18 million Afghans in need of assistance. The collapse of the government and the Taliban takeover have only deepened the emergency, displacing thousands more people. Aid agencies are used to working in difficult and dangerous conditions, but new uncertainties on the ground have forced many to assess the security situation and evacuate international staff, send local staff home, and pause some or all of their services.
I think for many of us and our peer agencies, it is important that we have a right, secure environment to operate. We want to have clarity on humanitarian access space, and we really want to make sure that the international community stand with Afghanistan and Afghan people and not forget them in the time of crisis.
The Taliban have signaled that they want the United Nations and some NGOs to continue their work, but have not said whether they will impose new restrictions or conditions on them.
So everything at the moment in terms of how UNICEF works is up in the air. We have not yet had a meeting at the central level with the new de facto authority. We are having dialogue at the regional and local level with local interlocutors. So we do not have a system in place yet.
The World Food Programme has been operating in the country since 1963 and currently feeds about 4 million people each month. With malnutrition rates on the rise, it is scaling up to reach 9 million monthly by November. Access has continued, but without a proper government in place, it is complicating WFP's work.
There's a political leadership in Doha. There is local leadership here. There is a leadership layer at various places. Our concern is that assurances that might be given at one level are honoured by local or even higher authorities in other levels.
Logistics are vital to the efficient and regular delivery of aid, and questions remain over who will run Kabul's airport after the U.S. leaves.
A functioning airport for a landlocked country is going to be so critical in order to get supplies in.
The World Food Programme's Andrew Patterson says aid agencies fear donor funding could dry up in response to a Taliban-led government.
That means cutting off aid. We really need the humanitarian aid to keep flowing. That's how we're going to be able to stop mass famine in this country.
With millions of Afghans already food insecure, aid workers say funding cuts would be deadly. Margaret Bashir, VOA News.
Two Afghan-American families who were in Afghanistan when the United States-backed government fell are talking about their harrowing journey from the Kabul airport back to America. VOA Afghan service reporter Mohammed Ahmadi visited the families and has this report narrated by Sabaha Khan.
Images of mayhem, bomb explosions, and people trying to get into airport gates have made headlines around the world. And passengers who boarded planes in Kabul days ago are now arriving at Dulles Airport in Washington. Abdul served as an interpreter for the U.S. military and is a U.S. green card holder. He says family was not let into the airport with him.
All my family is back over there. I am so worried about them. I tried to bring them in, but the security forces, they didn't let them.
As they arrive, many describe horrifying scenes of gunfire and people being crushed at the airport. Arif is concerned about his two brothers-in-law, both of whom held high-ranking government positions.
Like two of my brother-in-laws, they work in the government, previous government in high rankings, and they tried even yesterday to get into the airport, but nobody allowed them to. And we know, like, these guys the Taliban will start, and they already have started going to homes of people that were part of the government, the high ranking, especially important people, and choosing them one by one. And whatever they do, I've heard some of them, they already, you know, they're gone. There's no news about them. So there's a big fear that these guys are in real danger.
Almost all of the people who are arriving here have two things in common: fear for those who are left behind and relief that they are safe now. Sabasha Khan, VOA News, Washington.
That's all the time we have for today's program. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. Continue online at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Just look us up under our name, VOA Asia. We also thank our team that brings you this program, Service Chief Diane Gao, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Chris Cascao. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.